which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With that, moving on here, we have a set of minutes from the regular assembly meeting, minutes for January 5th, 2026. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Moved by Member Stan Gregor, seconded by Member Mucci. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. And with that, any opposed? Not hearing none, those minutes are approved. Moving on the agenda, we have, are there any, first of all, is there a motion to approve the agenda as it stands today? Yes.
Asking for amendments to the agenda?
Let me put it onto the table first, and
okay,
then I'll ask for amendments, if you will.
Make a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
It's been moved and approved. Now I'll ask, are there any amendments to tonight's agenda? Member Mucci.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Under council discussion or assembly discussion items, I'd like to put on there the topic for the February 2nd assembly meeting discussion about putting together the housing working group again. That's one. And the other one is under assembly discussion item is to, for the February 2nd meeting, to have a discussion regarding reapplying to be a location for TSA pre-check and other documents that we have to travel to Wrangell to get. Thank you.
Your second to add those to the discussion.
We discuss it? Is that TWIC cards, Jeff? Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Is there a second?
One second.
Okay, it's been seconded by Mr. Martin. With that, is there approval? Go ahead.
Just a point of clarification, Member Mucci, without getting the weeds on it, for lack of a better way to phrase, why not just put it on this February 2nd agenda and go with it from there?
Well, I will, but I just wanted to give, Mr. Mayor, I just wanted to give the assembly a heads up that it was going to be there, so in case they needed to do some research into it.
Roger. Thank you, Jeff.
You bet.
Okay. All those in favor with the agenda as amended?
Aye.
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 With that, we'll proceed on. Tonight, there are public hearings. We have one public hearing, ordinance 2026-01, supplemental budget, an ordinance of the Petersburg Borough adjusting the fiscal year 2026 budget for known changes. Any public testimony regarding ordinance 2026-01 should be given during this public hearing. And a copy of this ordinance, 2026-01, may be found under agenda item 14A. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to talk to this ordinance? Okay. Seeing none, I'll move on. There are no bid awards tonight, and that moves us on to persons to be heard related to tonight's agenda. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to talk to items related to tonight's agenda? If they'd please come forward, state their name, who they represent, and you have 5 minutes.
Hi, my name is Tom Kowalski. I live on Cornelius Street, right next to Mill Street. And I'd like to speak to, are we doing the non-agenda items?
Are we doing, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Are we doing the non-agenda items?
No, I'll move to that next time.
Okay.
The next section. The items related to tonight's agenda.
I'd like to speak to the title work session for February 2nd. Sometimes when somebody takes advantage of you or means to harm you, the best thing to do is stop talking to them, get away from them, contact the authorities. So I have some questions for you to consider before deciding whether or not to invite Mr. Cropley into our house. Do we really want a dialogue with an organization that lied to the federal government about the $50 million grant to erect towers and lied about most of the answers he gave to Member Mucci's questions? Do we want a dialogue that quickly dismissed all attempts to negotiate responsible replacement of towers that are in the works at the moment. Their response every time we try to negotiate was, we can't do that, it would increase costs. Do we really want a dialogue with an organization that was rude and disrespectful in almost every dealings with community members? Do we need to have a dialogue with these people? Now, I know somebody that lives near the Mill Road Tower, and they suffer from electromagnetic sensitivity, and they have symptoms that will be exacerbated when they turn that signal on. Do we really want to empower an organization to self-regulate the signal strength from that tower when we know they're going to crank it up so they're competitive? Do we really want to empower an organization that will likely undercut our local internet provider and cause them to close their doors, lay off their office and technical staff? And do we really want to empower an organization that is doing all of these things under the name of sovereign immunity, so they're not responsible for what they do and we can't sue them, which will put all of the burden on the borough? I don't think we do. These kinds of actions display often indicates manipulation and fraud. By allowing this organization to carry out their plan, we are jeopardizing the well-being of our community. We should cease dialogue with TitleNet. Furthermore, we should file a preliminary injunction. Maybe even consider filing a temporary restraining order for Mr. Cropley. At least think about it and have these things in place until we figure out what we want to do. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else that would like to talk about to items related to tonight's agenda?
Hello, I'm Dana Tinas, speaking on behalf of myself. For some reason, our federal government is insistent on minimizing or even obliterating local control over where radio towers can be placed. This issue is much bigger than Title Network, though I am glad the Assembly is considering a work session with them. Perhaps you're not aware that in 2021, a federal court ordered the FCC to review and update its safety regulations, which had not been updated for decades, even as the technology has changed exponentially. But the FCC has ignored the order and continues to ignore it. There are about 15 bills in Congress right now that seek to cut municipalities out of any ability to make decisions regarding the placement of cell towers in their own communities. If these bills are successful, then cell tower regulation will only be the first area in which local townships lose their voice. This issue of cell towers is not going away. It is fundamentally an issue of bureaucratic force versus the rights of citizens. Your job as an assembly is to represent and stand for our concerns. I believe the Petersburg Assembly wishes to do this, rather than facilitate unwanted strictures of the state and federal government upon us, or even this Trojan horse of cell towers for supposed unserved populations. But it will take a strong spirit to fight back. It will take courage. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else that would like to talk to items related to tonight's agenda?
Assembly members, I'm Andy Wright of 237 Mitkoff Highway. I'm here representing myself. I really don't want to be here tonight. However, I feel like the message so many of us are trying to send is being lost, misinterpreted, or ignored. Instead of listening to the community, negotiations have accelerated, and a fast-tracking dialogue with Title Network persists. I don't want to talk to them. The problem has been lack of effective communication with you. I didn't want to send them questions. What was the point? It just allowed them copious amounts of time to sit down with the best attorneys $50 million could buy and customize answers to promote their own agenda. This is not a good strategy for the city. I am not upset with them. I expected it. This is exactly how big business works. What does concern me is the continuing capitulation to them at the expense of the community who elected you. Nobody is trying to obstruct business. Comments alluding to this are misguided and underscore my comments about not being heard. Questioning the process does not equate obstructionism. I have lived next to the Mill Road for over 30 years. There have been many warehouses and businesses that have existed there. And until recently, I have never questioned this, although on occasions there was discomfort. One time, Ray Olson fired up a rock crusher 100 yards from my house. I thought there was an earthquake happening. I didn't run complaining to the city. I went and talked with Ray, and we worked out times that he could operate with minimal disruption to our lives, you know, small town common sense cooperation. I find the conflicting messaging problematic. It seems that the decision making is heavy on the side of promoting outside business entities at the expense of the business, also known as the city and borough of Petersburg. I have made the run up the Wrangell Narrows hundreds of times, and every time I clear Scow Bay and come up the home stretch, I am treated to the most beautiful and picturesque site, Petersburg. The shoreline of canneries with the swarm of boats, the life surrounding the harbors, all against the backdrop of Petersburg Mountain, Horncliffs, and Devil's Thumb. Petersburg is a visual jewel. That site never gets old. It is so remarkable that in meetings held in this very room around 8 years ago, residents told the Forest Service that this view had value, that tourists came from around the world to see it. It is a part of the Petersburg Tourism Business Plan. How much weight was put on this during earlier discussions? The Petersburg Viewshed and Skyline has value. We have spent a lot of energy addressing the Petersburg affordable housing shortage. A year-long study done by the borough, many hours of board meetings and public testimony. And in the middle of all of this, with seemingly no thought put into cause and effect, the way was paved for the construction of a nearly 200-foot tower right over large tracts of both developed and undeveloped residential property, rendering them undesirable for family development. Where is the cohesive planning? It makes no sense. There are dozens of properties affected that equate to the future of Petersburg's economic growth. Where are the sharp-penciled business people when we need them? The most impactful example of questionable business reasoning is the effect eroded property values will have on the community. Every affected property will represent an opportunity for the owner to contest its assessment on a yearly basis. The cumulative cost of lost property tax income to the borough, if calculated over the next 30 years, is likely to be a cost we can't afford. But surely, with all the meetings you had without us early on, you calculated these losses as acceptable collateral damage when you so cavalierly negotiated our property values away without so much as a notice or a phone call. Could it be you don't actually think our values would drop? I know that Title Network will try and sell you on that. I know because I listened in on a presentation meeting they had in another town. It sounded like a self-promoting infomercial delivered by snake oil salesmen. It even had an uplifting report given by a board member suggesting property values would miraculously rise. Really? Did the place they referred to have the backdrop of Wrangell Narrows, Horncliff, and Devil's Thumb? Multiple sources show that nationally property values near towers drop 10 to 20% or more, and these places don't have our viewshed or the towers in as close proximity to residents that we might. Our values will drop, period. Please vote to have further dialogue on the 28th. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else that would like to talk to items related to tonight's agenda?
I would like to, my name is Donna Marsh and I represent myself. I would like to reiterate the remarks that Mr. Wright just presented. In my conversation with Mr. Cropley have been semi-canned answers that they're doing it for the good of the community, and thanks for your inquiry. I find that the lack of full disclosure when the idea was presented to the borough assembly was lacking in transparency. They wanted the piece up by the fire hall, but failed to present to the assembly or to the in the documents that they presented that there would be a tower up in Mill Road as well as Papke's Landing. So I am very much against this new tower up by the fire hall, and I am encouraging the assembly to construct language that would prevent such things in the future. My second point is the proposed increased harbor rates. I am 100% opposed to those. The last time they were raised was in 2022, which is just three and a half, four short years ago. And at that time, the whole world was coming off of or out of the COVID pandemic. Fishing has been challenging, and now we're going to go ahead and raise rates again. But yet we've got $1 million in harbor reserves that we can go ahead and give to American Cruise Lines, which to me is a testimony of overcharging the ratepayers at the outset. And I would like to see the Harbor Department work to limit their budget rather than increasing their rates. We've got sewer rates increased, we've got electrical rates increasing, and this is not helpful to the fishermen or the town. So thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Anybody else that would like to talk to items related to tonight's agenda?
Mayor Lynn, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Yes, go ahead.
We'll have everyone in the room speak, and then we have Becky Knight online.
Hi, Judy Ulmer, speaking for myself. I've been a little surprised by our conversations on these topics since I first found out about it, and felt like admonished by some of the decision makers about why didn't people show up earlier for this, and now all of a sudden, now that we're down the road on it, people are coming out of the woodworks to speak, and again, we have a full room of people who have concerns about the tower situation and some of the others on the agenda. And so I went back through the agendas, and I pulled them all off from May through today. And I looked through and tried to mark out, well, where does it say tidal networks? Where does it say anything about Klinka-Haida coming in and wanting to do things? Where does it say anything about buying properties to put up telecom towers? Where does it ever talk about there's a gap in service that needs to be filled and here comes the money to do it? I don't see anything about that. On September 2nd, there was a reference to the property up on Haugen Drive near the fire hall that was, can we sell it or should we sell it? Or I forget exactly how it was worded. But there was nothing in there that would show an ordinary person that was even looking at agendas to find out what was going on, what was going on. And it just, it feels like, you know, here we are today, down the road on these issues, and some of them it sounds like there's no turning back on. But it makes me really wonder how we would have known. Maybe it was on the radio. Not everybody listens to the radio for announcements on an agenda for one of our commissions or committees or assembly things. I don't know how we would have found out. So here we are today, and I'm encouraging that the item on the agenda that relates to listening and working with the community and working for solutions. Because like right now, we get up and we talk a lot about what we don't like or what but there's not really a coming together of the community with the decision makers in that way. The other thing I have concern about is rather than as we sit now where we're trying to, as a community, do all these workarounds of what titles already, networks has already decided for us, it's like, where's the vision for our community, our town? What do we want here? And I'm hoping that at the meeting proposed for January 28th, that we can come together. That's going to be a very different meeting than the one on February 2nd, where Tidal Networks comes in and tells us how wonderful they are and how much we need them and that kind of thing. Very different meetings. So I'm encouraging the assembly to support the idea that we get together as a community and really look at what do we want the vision here to be. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Did you want to go to the Zoom? Go ahead.
Several more, actually.
First.
Go ahead. We'll do everyone in the room first.
My name is Chad Carvey, and my wife and I recently bought a little lot down at Papke's on Rose Lane. So I just wanted to register our support, actually, my wife and I, for an alternative placement and more discussion. As a school principal for about 30 years, I had a front row seat to watching the evolution of things like this, as far as we used to look at them and say, hey, let's put it in place, and if it starts to cause problems, we can deal with it then. What we really have evolved into, the real smart places, smart towns, is what's called the precautionary principle. And that's that we don't put something in until we know it's healthy. We make sure. And there's enough testing out there that says it's close to, if it's close to people, close to where they live, in addition to the eyesore and all of that, that we really should hesitate. So I'm for an alternative placement.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. Again, anybody else related to tonight, items related to tonight's agenda?
Okay, we have Becky Knight online. Go ahead, Becky.
Okay. Hi. Becky, you have the floor.
Can you hear me okay? Hello?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Oh. Yeah, yes. Okay. Hi, my name is Becky Knight, and I'm here to speak on the cell tower issue, including the questionnaire. If Tidal's intentions are indeed purely honest and above board, then why won't they share a full, unredacted version of their project application? The grant is funded through the hard-earned dollars of American taxpayers. Why the secrecy? In all seriousness, while the subject matter clearly differs, the redactions rival those of the Epstein files. Regarding Tidal's business plan, what happens if one or some communities reject Tidal's project? How does this impact Tidal's long-term viability? Will Tidal force their project on these small communities in the event of little to no support? The responses to the questionnaire are replete with wordsmithed spin. For instance, in question number 4, Tidal claims that, quote, before any construction begins, sites must pass strict federal environmental, NEPA, and that's National Environmental Policy Act, and historic preservation reviews, as well as geotechnical surveys to ensure the structures meet national codes, that's national codes, for wind, snow, and seismic resilience. That statement is untrue. First, the NEPA, National Environmental Policy Act review involved in this process was in the form of a categorical exclusion, which excludes conducting a thorough review. It is the least rigorous NEPA review possible. Moreover, as the reply in the questionnaire denoted in red reveals, Tidal has attempted to install towers on landslide-prone mountain slopes in Sitka. To my knowledge, no so-called, quote, wind, snow, and seismic resilience studies have been made publicly available. Those studies must be publicly disclosed, and especially for the Mill Road site, which was rushed to construction, and any other Southeast Alaska, and any others in Southeast Alaska. Further, many Southeast Alaska tower sites have yet to be selected. So how can such studies be conducted when the location of those sites are unknown? Will the Petersburg borough be limited to 3 towers, or will there be additional undisclosed sites required? Tidal is piecemealing its project. NEPA piecemealing, also known as segmentation, is the illegal practice under NEPA of breaking one large federal project into smaller separate actions to avoid a thorough review for the entire project, thus obscuring its cumulative environmental impacts. The trigger for NEPA is whether a proposed major federal action is determined to significantly affect the quality of the human environment. Titles Project certainly qualifies, just by judging how many people are in the room tonight. According to a January 2nd Common Dreams article, and Common Dreams is a reputable online news organization, titled, quote, "Whatever Industry Wants, How the FCC is Steamrolling Locals in the Cell Tower Rollout." So we aren't alone here. The Federal Communication, and this is part of what they point out, the FCC is poised to release two orders that would steamroll states and communities on behalf of the wireless industry. Long in bed with that industry, it will soon eliminate virtually any say locals have in the rollout of new infrastructure. They would render an already weak NEPA process largely meaningless, strip local and state governments of nearly all of their congressionally granted authority, and leave the agency even less accountable to the public. I think this is a testament to what communities in Southeast Alaska are currently experiencing. I ask the Assembly to demand full disclosure about the project's impacts and formally request to the federal government a full NEPA policy, National Environmental Policy Act review, not the watered-down framework which the FCC uses. We should all band together to stand up to this powerful industry. And if I can figure out a way, maybe I can post this link to the Common Dreams article in the chat, and if not, I'll post it in a letter to you guys. But I thank you, and I know we're really standing up against a Goliath, but
Becky, could you wrap it up, please?
Yes, I just encourage get together and protest to the federal government. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Anybody else related to items on tonight's agenda? Please come forward, state your name and who you represent.
Good evening, and let me thank you for allowing me to speak. My name is John Mergus, and I'm representing myself. I wasn't sure whether to speak with on the section of items related or unrelated to the agenda, but they blend so much, I think you understand. Before I get into what I prepared here, I want to thank Judy, because I too have spent hours and hours looking through agendas for this past summer. How did I miss this on the tower situation? I couldn't find it, and I thought I'm just not seeing it. I was too embarrassed to ask city clerk to help and so forth, but she's 100% right. The only reference I did find was a communications tower near the fire department. So I figured, okay, fire department is enhancing their emergency response, and this all sounds like a good idea. Otherwise, I would have been here much sooner trying to be involved, but there definitely is a tremendous lack of communication on this. Okay, so to move on, my comments that I'm gonna give now are fairly short. It concerns Clinkett Haida's subsidiary Title Network and their responses to the Petersburg residents' questions about the communication towers project. There are many, many questions. There are very few answers. A major issue of local residents is the near proximity of the towers to residential and people-occupied properties. There's a whole lot more that we're all concerned about, but that's kind of the main one that I wanted to just center on that. Those concerns include potential health issues, mental health, property devaluation, and quality of life. The responses by Title Network are carefully pre-crafted and likely the same used for all communities in Southeast. The responses provided to specific questions about the Petersburg community glaringly do not distinguish whether the towers are tens of feet from people occupied locations, or hundreds or thousands. For many of us, that distance is tens of feet. Recommended industry standards for minimal distances of 5G towers to populated areas varies from 1,500 to 3,000 feet. Obviously, if your bedroom or workplace is 100 feet from a tower, and if there are potential health problems, health issues, you are in the danger zone. For Tidal Network not to recognize this does not make sense. Concerning property devaluation, Tidal Network states, quote, negligible long-term impact, unquote, from their towers. And again, no difference how close that tower is to your home or work or people populations. It's plain crazy. Does not make sense. The most irritating response is the quality of life subject. And from Tidal Network, I quote, site selection is a precise engineering process. And I think I mentioned to you in an earlier meeting that I called Tidal, talked to Mr. Crawley, and asked him why they're putting a tower in so close to all the residences in the Papke's area. And his response was simply that it was for sale, nothing else. There's not a single word pertaining to quality of life or whether a tower is completely filling your living room window 75 feet away or a mile down the road. Again, does not make sense. In Tidal Network's response, they state, quote, our mandate is to construct a permanent public utility infrastructure, unquote. So, assembly members, I respectfully and humbly ask you, do not commit all we residents and future generations to a permanent change to our cherished viewshed with no regard to our mental and physical health and quality of life. Please do the right thing. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. I believe now we have Mr. Beebe's on the line. If you want to unmute him.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Mr. Beebe, you've got 5 minutes.
Thank you. I'm swinging on the anchor here. I'd just like to say good evening. My name is David Beebe. I'm speaking for myself. I'm speaking to the Clinkin and Haida telecom tower issue and the necessity to have a community work session in which to share independent research among each other prior to the February 2nd meeting with Clinkett and Haida presentation. I say this because the more I research, especially in terms of recent congressional efforts towards passing legislation, towards eliminating our sovereignty of exercising democratic processes related to public health and private property achieved through participatory processes of local government. That's what they want to eliminate. The powers of local government is why I live here in a community solidly anchored in the founding principles of our constitutional republic, based upon the meaning of a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. I learned that because a process is following all of the rules and declared legal doesn't mean it's ethical. That lesson is central to what we have here. When most people hear the word mercenary, they most likely think of a soldier of fortune. That's the noun. But mercenary is also an adjective. It is defined as primarily concerned with making money at the expense of ethics, and that's what we the people have here. I urge the Planning and Zoning Commission as well as the borough to table what is going on until everyone understands what is at stake. Trust in local government of and for the people, not for $50 million of corporate welfare. That's precisely what we were warned would occur when Bill Clinton signed the Telecommunications Act in 1996. To pass this now without full representation of all concerns available would require ignoring the regulatory capture of the Federal Communications Commission ever since and all of its cascading consequences occurred over decades. It would require ignoring the illegal actions of the FCC itself, which has been in violation of the courts for the last 2 years. It would require ignoring the fact that the FCC refuses to update public health and safety standards to the latest science findings of the 21st century. More importantly, it would require ignoring testimony based upon entirely reasonable concerns of many constituent property taxpaying residents. Residents, by the way, who are directly bearing potential personal impacts of financial and health risks. And it would require ignoring broader impacts upon community well-being and quality of life. That quality of life is perfectly summarized in the Alaskan bumper sticker reminding tourists, relax, this ain't the lower 48. And that's why we choose to make our home here in this remote rural island community. To force the cart of platting authority or legal approval ahead of the plodding horse of public process, public disclosure, and public discussion is also what we have here. What we do know about what's in that cart involves extraordinary claims which require extraordinary evidence, and the horse that's pulling that cart deserves examination. There's an old proverb in the rural South that goes, never look a gift horse in the mouth. Why? Because the mouth of the horse is the first place to quickly assess the health and well-being of the horse. Any examination of looking into this horse's mouth by the borough or the Planning and Zoning Commission would openly confront the ruling corporate dogma. We would risk seeming to be ungrateful by considering the ethics. We would risk losing the possibility of any trickle-down crumbs of corporate welfare. How? By questioning the motives of the gift giver. But let's remember, who exactly is funding this gift?
Mr. Beebe, could you wrap it up, please?
We the people, by way of $50 million of general treasury funds. And who are the primary beneficiaries? Clinkett and Haida, Central Council, and the telecom billionaires in control of and public policy. Thank you for this opportunity to speak.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else who would like to talk to items related to tonight's agenda? Is there anybody else online?
Kurt? No, there's no one.
All right, thank you.